Misfortune is a Cookie Named Zeke is the title of a story that Ezekiel J. Kralin sent. He lives in an apartment in San Francisco, a tiny apartment. I've seen pictures of it. I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures of it on his webpage. And he has an antenna for his web access, an antenna in the window of his apartment that picks up web access from the coffee store that's downstairs and across the street. It kind of works. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But that's where he listens to my show. And he writes me a story every week. And if I'm in Fort Bragg, he calls the show and reads the story himself. And that's what's been going on for months now. And I think it's neat. I don't always understand what he writes or the format. And sometimes I read what's here and I don't know who's supposed to be talking at the moment in the story, but I'll do the best I can. Misfortune is a Cookie Named Zeke by Ezekiel J. Kralin. Date, 25 Glaucus, 50,970 AZA, meaning after Zeke's awakening. Subject, how my cookies conquered the world and beyond. To my loyal reptilian subjects from Andromeda. From Master Thaumaturge Ezekiel Joseph Kralin, eminent overseer of Sector 357, Quadrant B. There is no way to explain how I became the most powerful sentient being in the entire Milky Way galaxy, plus 14 neighboring clusters, based solely on cookie sales without believing in the supernatural. I do not dabble in the black arts, nor have I in any other way consciously sought this impossible destiny. The cookies just fell into my lap, so to speak. One cookie led to another until 50,970 years after my first cookie tumbled off the assembly line, and voila, here I am. It all started quite innocently on the 29th day of July, 2015 AD, with a frivolous email exchange between myself and the Osmium Empress, a.k.a. Eleanor Cooney, who, as you all know so well from your brain implant history classes, led us to a magnanimous victory in 38,112 AZA against the Axis Spuluk Swarm that threatened to teleport us back to the Stone Age when dinosaurs had yet to invent the rotating disc, which disc is responsible for uniting two intelligent species, reptilians and humans, into an amalgamated imperium. For posterity's sake, here is the exchange. Date, Tuesday, 28th July, 2015. Subject, want to go into business together? I have a plan. From Zeke Kralin to Eleanor Cooney. Forget literary endeavors. Let's get into the cookie business, specifically Zeke's misfortune cookies. Printed on each strip of paper will be one of my silly quotes, of which I have many, as you all too well know, such as, help, I'm a prisoner in a Neptunian Chinese cookie factory, and I can't find the right wormhole that will lead me to freedom. I think it's a fabulous idea, and if you are likewise inspired, run with it. We can split 60-40 with the 60 part for you and yours. Signed, Zeke. From Zeke Kralin to Eleanor Cooney on Tuesday, July 28. Eleanor Cooney wrote, it's a winner idea, all right, but how to implement it? Well, once the money from my fame comes rolling in, I can hire some of the best to handle the business aspects. I was also thinking you can add your own Morticia quotes. Morticia and Gay Zombie Jesus has a nice ring to it. God, I'm on a roll these days. Signed, Zeke. P.S. I saw Larkin yesterday afternoon seated at the counter of Moby Dick and rolling the dice. His roommate Zachary was tending bar. I paused a moment at a spot where only Larkin could see me through the plate glass, just in case he needed to talk. He didn't, so I moved on. None of my scouts have seen Larkin at any other bar, nor have I, these past 7 days. Looks like my new rule has trumped Larkin big time. From Zeke Kralin to Eleanor Cooney, Tuesday, July 28, 2015. Imagine our webpage, Eleanor Cooney wrote. My eyes are burning. Eleanor wrote, I think you should make some misfortune cookies specifically for Larkin. Oh, he's going to need a whole passel each and every day. I'll whip him up a batch of glop and tell him it's okay. Signed, Zeke. Toward the final months of 2015, I finally made my breakthrough as an activist and author celebrated throughout the world with ginormous sums of cash flowing into my PayPal account. By April of the following year, my asset value increased from $1,550 to $4,325,000, which empowered me to open my first misfortune cookie factory. My cookies were a big hit. bigger than ever, I hoped, infiltrating even the poorest nations and remotest regions with their playful mayhem. They made people laugh, sometimes sorely, something sorely appreciated in those tumultuous times of poverty, disaster, oppression, and disease. But more than that, these misfortune cookies are highly nutritional, composed of a base of gluten-free quinoa and brown rice flours sweetened with stevia. The remaining ingredients, a trade secret, ensure that my cookies will always be delectable and with just the right satisfying crunch. In appearance, they look just like standard fortune cookies, except for a special logo stamped onto one side. This symbol was originally my graffiti signature as a gay street activist, scrawled here and there throughout the Castro to mark my turf. But since my fame took off, it's become a seal of quality for all my products, including my Starship franchise established 700 years ago. But let's get back to the 21st century. Here are seven early examples of my quips, besides the one displayed in the email exchange above. Many are called, but few are chosen, so step right up for your lederhosen. Who wants to play Twister? The Elephant Man, on his birthday. The way to a man's heart is his stomach, either orifice. Can I meet you if I retweet you? Can I eat you if I reheat you? That's attributed to gay zombie Jesus. Crumpets in bed. Noshing on crumpets and getting good head. That's attributed to gay bachelor raconteur Neville Snyder Mannington III. Don't count your chickens before they change horses in midstream. Oh, that's my favorite one right there. It's good advice for anybody. I am not Larkin's stalker, I'm his boyfriend. That's attributed to Zeke Kralin, plus six examples from Eleanor's Morticia alter ego, which tend to be more direct and blunt than mine, no pussyfooting about. You will lose your foot in an accident involving farm equipment. You will catch a tropical disease and be hideously disfigured. A grand piano will fall on you from 10 stories up. You'll be drugged and transported to a refugee camp in Somalia. You will reincarnate as a leper in 11th century India. You will swallow a thumbtack. The world went through many upheavals during my stellar rise to power, and my cookie factories spread across the globe to number 182,448. Not only had I led the LGBT revolution to establish the world's first gay nation, Athenia, but I grew so affluent, I bought up every country that collapsed under the weight of economic catastrophe, one by one. By the year 2022, immortality had been invented in the form of a nasal spray, though reserved only for the rich, but my militia stole the formula and distributed it to everyone else within the short span of 5 years, so I could then breathe a sigh of relief at that point as I morphed backwards in physical age to 19 and continue my conquest of planet Earth in relative tranquility as nation after nation fell into my hands until not so much as a square inch anywhere on terra firma was not under my direct ownership. World peace was finally a reality under the auspices of yours truly, also known as Big Gay Brother. And I owed all this ridiculous success to my misfortune cookie dynasty, which garnered profit quantum leaps beyond my fame as a revolutionary author and activist. You might say that the world was now my oyster, though I would object. As the centuries marched forward, humanity expanded throughout the solar system and onto neighboring galaxies under my leadership with co-commander and uber soulmate Larkin Kelsey and the Osmium Empress for my most trusted military advisor. My cookies were the first cash cow from Earth to be traded on the intergalactic marketplace, which of course boosted my legendary influence, another quantum leap or two. My transcosmically irresistible misfortune cookies were on the table or pad or squadunk or whatever passed for a dining service on every sentient family of every sentient family across 15 galaxies, including the Milky Way. By the time the Axis-Skipuluk swarm... Axis-Skipuluk... Does that spell something bad? It doesn't spell anything backward. ...was subjugated to lowly factory workers. Ah, yes, the factories. It had finally become necessary to dedicate an entire solar system to the production of my cookies. The one I chose had 22 inhabitable planets, and the sole mission of every denizen on each of these worlds was to manufacture enough cookies to satisfy the demand of more than 6,433 quadrillion eager consumers. These factories provided almost 17,000 years of quality cookie production, but like all good things, they came to pass and had to be demolished along with their entire solar system due to residual byproduct. Of course, I transferred all residents to a new location long before the Cookieocalypse took place. And sorry, it's kind of a... eyes are blurring a little at this point. Co-Commander Kelsey and myself stood a safe distance from the demolition as we watched the planets and its star quietly break up into fragments, then dust. I was quite disappointed, expecting instead a glorious supernova implosion with many fireworks in tow. So I looked up at him, questioned why such an anticlimactic end, to which he calmly replied, "Well, Zeke, I guess that's just the way the cookie planets crumble." Hmm.